ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 Srimad Bhagavatam, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Canto 1, Chapter 1, Text 22. Twangna Sandarshita Dhatra Dustarang Nistitir Shitam Kaling Satvaharang Pungsam Karnadhara Itarnavam. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. We, this refers to Shonaka and the rishis at Naimisharanya, speaking to Suta Goswami. We think that we have met your goodness, referring to Suta Goswami, by the will of providence, just so that we may accept you as captain of the ship for those who desire to cross the difficult ocean of Kali, which deteriorates all the good qualities of a human being. Purport: the age of Kali is very dangerous for the human being. Human life is simply meant for self-realization. But due to this dangerous age, men have completely forgotten the aim of life. In this age, the lifespan will gradually decrease. People will gradually lose their memory, finer sentiments, strength, and better qualities. A list of the anomalies for this age is given in the 12th canto of this work. And so this age is very difficult for those who want to utilize this life for self-realization. The people are so busy with sense gratification that they completely forget about self-realization. Out of madness, they frankly say that there is no need for self-realization because they do not realize that this brief life is but a moment on our great journey towards self-realization. The whole system of education is geared to sense gratification. And if a learned man thinks it over, he sees that the children of this age are being intentionally sent to the slaughterhouses of so-called education. Learned men, therefore, must be cautious of this age, and if they at all want to cross over the dangerous ocean of Kali, they must follow the footsteps of the sages of Naimisharanya and accept Sri Suta Goswami or his bona fide representative as the captain of the ship. The ship is the message of Lord Sri Krishna in the shape of Bhagavad Gita or the Srimad Bhagavatam. Twangna sandarshito dhatra dustarang nistitirshatam kaling sattva harang pungsam karna dhara ivarnavam. We think that we have met your goodness by the will of providence, just so that we may accept you as the captain of the ship for those who desire to cross the difficult ocean of Kali, which deteriorates all the good qualities of a human being. I'm speaking on this verse. I intended to speak at the initiation ceremony, but there was no amplification, and I thought that if I was to try to amplify my voice, then I might end up with nothing left. I might lose it altogether. So I thought I'll speak on this subject. This very important subject, here at this evening program. It's a very the subject that I wish to Srila Prabhupada in this purport. He mostly elaborates on the point Kaling Sattva Harang Pungsam, that Kali is the age which takes away all that is good in the living being. But then he brings the point to the conclusion, as in the verse itself, that we have to accept the spiritual master as the captain of the ship for crossing the ocean of Kali. So it's largely a controversial topic in our movement, and generally devotees might be warned to steer clear of controversial topics, especially in Alachua, where, we're not supposed to accept the idea jato mot toto pot, all opinions are as good as each other, but it's Alachua is maybe as close as you could get to it. Maybe Vrindavan also, ISKCON Vrindavan. But we should not avoid controversies. It's at least not my policy to do so, just because someone might not like it. But we should be concerned more with, not more with, but totally with reality, who is Krishna, with the truth, and pursue that, whether it is liked or disliked. Basically, or generally, especially in Kali Yuga, which takes away all the good qualities of a living being, people are not only not interested in truth, but they are opposed to it. Now, if we're going to, the topic of guru is controversial within ISKCON, because after Srila Prabhupada left, it's been a role that has been misused, misappropriated, misunderstood, and miss whatever else you want to put after it. It's missed everything. But still, there are some, like myself, who have the, whatever you want to call it, foolishness, foolhardiness, audacity, some may say, to accept that role. So this should be discussed. Why are we doing this? Some will say, well, it's just for name and fame and money and easy living and all this kind of thing. I pray that I'm not such a... I mean, I know that I'm a wretch, but we are supposed to be at least... Despite our wretched condition, we're at least supposed to be sincere and really trying to serve Srila Prabhupada and his mission. So I'll get back to that a little bit, but first of all, on the the very topic of why one should accept a guru. Well, here we find. there is a beautiful verse in the Stotra Ratnam of Sri Yamuna Acharya, which is addressed to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana. And which is also quoted in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. That bhavantamevanu charam nirantara prashanta nishesha manoratantara kadaham aikantika nitya kinkara praharshi yashami sanata jivita. Sri Yamuna Acharya, he says, addressing Bhagavan Narayana, that when will that day become? When I will be known as your eternal servant. Anuttara. There are different words for servant. This word means one who follows behind. Follower, in the very literal sense. Then, simply by accepting myself in that position, then absolutely fixed service, one-pointed service, my mind will become very peaceful. The mind, which is always on a cosmic journey, going here and there, will stop all that nonsense and will be fixed simply in serving you. Then, Prashanta Nishesha Mano Ratantara, my Kantaka Nitya Kinkara, then this last line, Srila Prabhupada often quoted this, I become very happy, very joyful, simply by this one act, and I will have my life as Sanata Jivita. I'll be living with a master. And Srila Prabhupada often gave the example, quoting this, of a dog without a master doesn't feel very happy. A dog with a master feels very happy. In this material world, we're all wandering. We're trying to take shelter of family, friends, home, country, money, bank balance. But we are without the real shelter of Krishna, and that Krishna extends his shelter to us in the form of his devotees. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he instructed Rupa Goswami. The process of devotion, when instructing Rupa Goswami in the process of devotional service, he listed various points which Rupa Goswami included in the his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in which the first is Ado Gurvashraya. One should take shelter of the Guru. Ata Gurvashraya. So the first thing, to take shelter. Otherwise, in this material world, we're unsheltered. We take shelter of Krishna via the parampara. Ado atha gurvashraya Krishna dikshanu shikshanam vishrambhena guru seva. The first four items of devotional service, which Rupa Goswami compiled on the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, are to take shelter of a guru, to take initiation from the Guru, to in Krishna mantra specifically, and shiksha, to take instruction in the parampara line from the Guru. There's a qualification of Guru. He should be in parampara line. And to serve the Guru with great affection. So that is required. And personally, when I think of my life prior to having come into Srila Prabhupada's shelter, and now, it feels to me like a horrible situation. What is it like to be without a guru? It's some horrible situation. You're just on your own with your mind, wandering in this material world, taking shelter of the asat sainya, the fallible soldiers, the people who cannot actually help us. We take shelter. We take shelter of the great America, living in America, the great illusion of being in a great, powerful country, but that cannot save us. Nothing can save us. Krishna can save us. We approach Krishna through the Guru, who is, that is shelter. Without the shelter of... Without the shelter, we're just like the Srila Prabhupada gave the example, like stray dogs wandering here and there. They come wagging their tail, looking, someone's eating something. They look, get out of here. Or they throw some crumb to the dog. And the dog passes his life. You don't see in America where America is a land of dog worship. But in India, there's the dog is just mostly neglected. Now, because they're imitating everything Western, people have pet dogs. So it's quite comical to see the dog pulling the people along on the leash as they try to take the dog for a walk, because they don't have a long tradition of dog culture as in America. So they don't, when they try to imitate Westerners, it's comical, farcical, and it's sorry to see at the same time. They're there. So we have to take shelter within this material world if we can understand what is the situation. Once we have some inkling of the foolishness of our attempt to be Ishvaro Ham Aham Bhogi, I am the controller, I'm in charge here, I'm doing everything by myself, and I'm enjoying this world, and we understand our actual position of being insignificant, totally vulnerable, we're not at all in control. And then we take shelter. To take shelter within the Guru Parampara means that we are in very good hands. We have our whole Paramparas. We have Srila Prabhupada, his Guru, Srila Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur, Srila Gaur Kishore Das Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Jagannath Das, Baladev Vidyabhushan, Vishwanath, and all powerful personalities. Who they are worthy to take shelter. Sharanam, Sharanyam. Krishna is worthy. We can take shelter confidently in these great personalities. But one cannot have that shelter without submission. We say Guruvashraya, taking shelter of the Guru. But we can't have that shelter without following the instructions, without submission. We can't have love of Krishna and enjoy this material world at the same time. This is what is called religion. Religion is when you want to have the blessings of God and the idea, yes, I will go to heaven or Vaikuntha or whatever it is, but in the meantime, I'll take the blessings of God to enjoy this material world. One accepts a guru. Why? In which condition? Krishna, in the 12th canto, 11th canto of Bhagavatam, we'll find that famous verses there, Tasmad gurum prapadyeta jignyasu shreya uttamam. Therefore, one should, again, one should submit oneself to a guru and inquire about the highest benefit. So this tasmat, therefore, what is that in relationship to? Prior to this, Krishna has described what is the nature of this material world. You go to, even in the heavenly planets, Forget Florida. This is nothing. Go to, you think this is nice? Go to the heavenly planets. You want to enjoy? There's millions of times better. There's unimaginably better. But there also one has to suffer. One cannot stay. There also one is subjected to the miseries of this world. There is nowhere in this material world. A brahma bhuvana loka punaravartino jana. The whole, everywhere, from even in the planet of Brahma, there's so much suffering. There's nothing to be had in this world. Understanding this, one should approach a guru and inquire about the highest good. This is the purpose. One should go. Guru meva bigachet. One Srila Prabhupada always stressed when quoting this. Guru meva, one must, one should. If at all one is to fulfill the purpose of human life, not to do this is suicidal. In the same example is given here of crossing the ocean. Ridehama adyam sulabhang sudur labhang plavan sukalpo guru karnadharan. The same term is used, karnadha. Mayanukulyena nabasvateritam puman bhavabdhim natarit sa atmaha. This same example is given again in the 11th canto. Krishna says that one who has this human body, which is a very good boat for crossing the ocean of material existence, who has a competent guru to captain the boat, who has my instructions, Krishna's instructions, shastric injunctions, as the favorable winds for crossing the ocean, having all these facilities, one who still fails to cross the ocean of material existence is simply killing themselves. So it's a very serious business. But that possibility is there. Not only the possibility is there, but the necessity is there to cross the ocean of material existence. But we can't do it by taking it very lightly or whimsically, or think we can do it, I did it my way. We have to do it Krishna's way. So Krishna gives his instructions, and how to understand those instructions, we have to learn from Guru, but to do that, we have to submit ourselves. We have to submit, Srila Prabhupada said, just like a blank slate. If we come thinking, I know so many things, then we cannot learn. Just like Arjuna, in the beginning, in the Bhagavad Gita, we find that Arjuna thought, now I have to become the Guru of Krishna. I have to teach Krishna about dharma, because Krishna, he's here on this battlefield, and he's going to help me to fight. But I, Arjuna, I just had this amazing realization that actually we shouldn't be fighting here. So I'd better tell Krishna, because obviously he's in illusion and he doesn't understand. But then Arjuna, he found that by doing so, he didn't become happy, he became miserable. And although Krishna didn't give him a great ovation, he told him, you're damn fool number one. That's what Prabhupada said. He paraphrased it like that. Then Arjuna had to submit himself. Shishyaste ham shadi maang tuang prapannam. Actually, I don't really know about what I should be doing, so I submit myself to you as a disciple. So this submission is required, and it's are very difficult for anyone in the material world to actually submit themselves to anyone else, and particularly in the culture, for want of a better word, of America today, where the culture of the rugged individual and I did it my way. Well, we can go on doing it my way. There are at least 8,400,000 my ways. But you don't go back to Godhead. We don't get Krishna prema. We have to do it Krishna's way. We have to learn that. But to submit to the rules and regulations of bhakti yoga, and to submit that I require to be trained, I require to learn, I require to have my material attachments destroyed. It's very, very difficult. It's much easier to be a religious person than someone who actually wants to attain Krishna. So this submission is required. Actual approach to the guru means with submission. It's a little bit like this idea that women want protection and they want their freedom at the same time. We'll do whatever we like, however we like, and at the same time we should be protected. But you can't be protected unless you're under some control. Freedom means you have the freedom, you do go here, go there, do whatever you like, but then there's no protection. You have to come under the control. Even the big wigs of the world, the Obamas and the Putins and all, they have to follow the directions of their security escort. This Rajiv Gandhi, he got killed. Why? Because he refused to follow the orders of his security people, and he wanted to be nice with all the people and embrace them, and he embraced one, and then that was no more Rajiv Gandhi after that, because the girl happened to have all explosives. No, she bowed down, and then it triggered off the explosives and blew her up and blew him, because he didn't follow the orders of the people who wanted to protect him. So you can't have your cake and eat it, as the saying goes. There has to be submission there. It's very difficult to give up the sense of independence, but that sense of independence is that which binds us in this material world. Either we become Guru Das, the servant of Guru, or we become Godas. There's nothing in between, the servant of our senses. And the guru can be guru because the guru is supposed to be Goswami, who has controlled the senses and is a follower of Rupa Goswami. This is the Rupanuga Sampradaya, the Sampradaya following from Rupa Goswami. All right, I'll surrender. Okay, 1%, 2%, 3%. But the satshisha, the true disciple, that is described also in Bhagavatam. Actually, Sandipani Muni speaking to Krishna and Sudama. He said that you have acted by your behavior. We see that you are proper disciples. Etad eva hi satshishai. Kartavyam guru nishkritam. Kartavyam guru nishkritam. Yadvaivi shuddha bhavena sarvart atmatpanam guru. He said that this, the way you have behaved, you have risked everything for the service of the guru. This is required for a proper disciple. In his attempt to repay the debt to the Guru, Shastra says that even one word spoken by the Guru can never be repaid by the disciple. Nishkriya. God, this is the duty. This is the duty of a proper disciple to try to repay that debt. By how? How should he do that? By, with a pure heart, not making a show, but with pure heart, he should offer his life, his sarvartha. That means, artha can have various meanings. It can mean all one's money. Sarvartha can also mean the whole purpose of one's life, and one's very being should be offered to the Guru. This, of course, opens the possibility of much abuse. The position of Guru can be much abused. So the Guru himself should be a proper follower, who himself, yadvai vishuddha bhavena sarvartatmapanam guru, himself with pure heart, pure consciousness, should have offered himself to his Guru. And ultimately this goes all the way to Krishna. So this is required. We may say, well, this Guru fell down, and that, well, we may say, we may not say, but it's a fact that so many have fallen from their position, but the spiritual science remains the same. And it's still required that one has to approach a Guru and take shelter and take instruction and take guidance and submit oneself. Now we may say, well, how can one do that in the modern world? There aren't so many gurus, and they're in and out, in one day, out the next. All they do is they come in, they smile, and people take photos, and then they take the money and they're off. Well, that is a cynical way to look at it. And if one perceives that the Guru is just taking money for sense gratification, then don't give it. He's not a Guru. But you can take also for engaging in Krishna service. One thing is that, of course, Srila Prabhupada, he famously said on several times that he wanted all his disciples to be gurus. So, well, what about all of you? Just as in normal cultures all over the world, and America's, modern America is by no means normal, but the child is the father of man. The child of today is the father tomorrow. That may not be, because, like I say, in modern America, people oftentimes don't have kids. If they become brahmachari, that's okay. But otherwise, they should have children. So in the same way, the disciple, he's expected to discharge his debt to his guru by, just as his guru took responsibility for him, cared for him, instructed him. So the disciple has to discharge that debt to the guru by doing the same in the next generation. It's just like the world works by children becoming parents. So the parampara works by disciples becoming gurus. After Srila Prabhupada, it's if one thinks that I have to be a guru, I have to be exactly like Srila Prabhupada or on the same level, then if someone demands that, then it becomes impossible, because after all, the maha maha bhagavat like Srila Prabhupada is very rare in this world. So Srila Prabhupada, he often said that To be a guru is very easy. One simply has to be a strict follower. So if just as he gave the example that if the teacher teaches this is how you write A, B, C, and then later on the child may not be on the same level as the teacher, but he can even show others how to write A, B, C. So if he teaches, he's absorbed the lesson well and is competent to teach that to others, then he should teach. So that is the duty, to teach in this way. The most important or the crucial factor that without which there is no guru disciple relationship or no particular meaning without which sitting in a sacrifice and getting initiated has no meaning, is that the vital factor in the guru-disciple relationship is the transmission of spiritual knowledge. In the modern age, that is facilitated by technology, so that may be one can hear, but one can hear regularly lectures and this and that. But even previously, there were many, but mostly very elevated devotees who would travel widely, initiate, and may not see their disciples ever again. But then the disciple has to be competent enough to take up the essence. Shankaracharya, he traveled widely, initiated widely. Traveled widely in those days meant by walking. Sannyasi should only walk, traditionally. So there wasn't much chance of him coming back. Ramanuja, Madhvacharya, Madhavendra Puri, he initiated Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya requested initiation. Madhavendra Puri came, he gave initiation, he went on, he wasn't seen again. But the disciple was, in such cases, was competent enough to take the instruction. And also there's the body of the whole sampradaya and the teachings and the writings which one may take advantage of. So this is the principle of guru-disciple relationship. We shouldn't abandon that because the because of its misapplication in many cases in the recent past, nor should we be so unrealistic as to expect that every guru has to be on the level of Srila Prabhupada. There is his little story. Everyone likes stories. There's a rishi. It was a rishi who came to be known of the name Apastamba. This is how he got the name. That he was walking along and he came across, he was going through a forest path, and he came across one Brahmin householder who had arranged everything for the Shrad ceremony. The I don't know what you call it in English. The Shrad ceremony means some ceremony, annual ceremony for the forefathers. But the Brahmana was looking very disappointed. He had it. And the Rishi asked him, "Why are you disappointed?" He said, "I came here to the forest. I thought I would find some Rishis who I could invite. You have to invite Brahmins and feed them at this ceremony, but I don't find anyone who's on the really on the proper level. So I'm feeling disappointed, and I think there's no point in me doing this Shraddha at all because no one's up to the proper level, and we'll just forget it all." So he had his pot of water, which he's which was brought. It's not like now. Well, even nowadays in the forest, you just can't get water anywhere. So he'd brought his Kamandalu water pot with the water. So he started to pour it out, and Apastamba, he stopped the water in midair and said, "Don't do that. You keep the water. You find some rishis. They may not be super elevated, but at least if they're following the Vedic processes, you call them and you do your whole ceremony with them." So then his name became Apastamba. Apa means water, and stamba means stopped. So it's unrealistic to think that we'll get super guru. We may like to imagine, or that's another thing. We imagine, we by hype, we blow up the idea that guru super this and that, and then we get disappointed. But find someone who's following, and follow, and the power of the Vedic system that is invested in that by Krishna and by all those who have followed in the past, those who are sincerely following, they will also be pulled up by that mercy. Just after this ceremony, one lady came to me and said that, Srila Prabhupada said that you should only accept a guru who's crazy after Krishna. I said, really? Where did you say that? She said, I read it. I said, well, I don't remember reading that exactly. But then how will you ascertain? Someone may appear to be crazy for Krishna. And how will that help you? If he's crazy, acting crazy, how will that help you if you try to imitate that? If he's acting crazy, how is he going to instruct you? We find that the guru of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, from the external point of view, he was crazy. Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. So from social point of view, he's crazy, and he was quite happy to be like that. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was the proper disciple, but he didn't act crazy. He was very sober because he had to teach others. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he was living like Gaur Kishore, practically. He was living a life just as renounced, chanting so many rounds. But then he took sannyas, and on taking sannyas, it looked like he became less renounced. Because prior to that, he had been living just in Mayapur and eating practically nothing and very simple food and lots of chanting. And then with sannyas, he had temple, institution, started initiating many devotees, came to Calcutta, and then the whole thing developed. And he would meet big, important people, and he developed so many mutts, and it seemed that he became less renounced. But that was his mercy to give Krishna consciousness to us. And he didn't act crazy. It might seem that he wasn't crazy after Krishna. But we see by... There are more... What shall we say, verifiable or quantifiable symptoms of an advanced devotee, the nine symptoms of bhav. What is that verse? Kshantir, that one is kshantihi, one is not disturbed by material distress or happiness. Dukeshvanudvignamana sukeshu vigata sprihaha. In material distress, one is in, when things go wrong, you don't get upset. And when things go right, you don't get all elated. Kshanti avyartha kalatvam, doesn't like to waste any time, always likes to be engaged in Krishna's service. Kshanti avyartha kalatvam, what's the next one? Mana shunyata. No, I'm missing one. What's the third one? Can't remember now. Anyway, mana shunyata, then that one is not desirous of any personal honor. Namagane Sadaruchi, one has a taste for always chanting. Preetis Tadvasati Stale, one has a taste for chanting the holy names. One likes to live in the places of the Viraktiyamana Shunyata. One is detached from all material enjoyment. Asha Bandha Samutkanta. One has great hope that Krishna will deliver me, and one is very anxious for that. So these are more verifiable symptoms. One, it doesn't waste time. He's not waste time, and he's detached from this material world. Doesn't care for honor and prestige. So this is more valuable for us. I also said to that devotee who asked me about this that you see, even if you had the highest, say you want to learn, you want an education, so you go to school. So maybe the primary school, first grade school, maybe the teacher, that would make a better teacher than Einstein. For beginners, you bring Einstein, and beginners wouldn't even begin to understand. So Srila Prabhupada was comparably like Einstein. He's the top, the highest in Krishna consciousness. He was the Einstein of Krishna consciousness. Of course, we shouldn't take this analogy too far, but the point is, he's way, 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 way out, far above anyone. But he taught us according to our need. So even if you do have people say, I have to have the highest guru, but anyway, they have to teach you. Chant your rounds, get up in the morning, all these things. And we have to follow these things very strictly. That will help us. Otherwise, we think, I'm going to be Einstein immediately just by hanging around him. You can't begin to understand. What he can understand very quickly, it may take you many, many lifetimes. So we have to be realistic and sincere, and Krishna will help us. Lavanga Devi Dasi is the first American young woman who I have initiated. Now, that's quite a step, because I, as well, sometimes people call me fanatic, fundamentalist. I believe in what Srila Prabhupada said. That's how I got that title. All these things that I often say about women's role, I only learned it from Prabhupada. Otherwise, I was just brought up in the same liberal atmosphere as all of you were in America. I was brought up in the same kind of thing in England. But especially having spent time among people living a very traditional lifestyle in Bangladesh and India, and completely fixed in that understanding, not intellectually, but culture, just the way they live. And I could see the great benefit of that for everybody. And after all, it is what Srila Prabhupada says. But I can understand it must be very difficult in many ways for men and women raised in the modern Western world to accept this, where they think it's just axiomatic that women should go to wars and fight and become firemen, firewomen, and all this kind of thing, that they should do exactly the same thing. But I am what I prefer to call a traditionalist, that in pointing out that there are different roles that different bodies bring, and Srila Prabhupada's neglected mission of Varnashram, that's a major part in implementing that. How to do that in modern America is a great question indeed, but we can't just wish it away and that will constitute guruvagya, the offense against the holy name of disobeying the order of the guru. So of course I'm not also insisting that Lavanga Devi Dasi or anyone else just try to overnight artificially imitate something of which they have no knowledge or understanding, and actually she is going out on book distribution, which is undoubtedly very pleasing to His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. But I understand it is it's a great step for any young woman in America, especially for anyone in the world, to take initiation into Krishna consciousness with these restrictions that we have is a big step. And in India also, it's to follow all these rules and regulations. It's not that there are so many people becoming initiated in India. It's not just that they walk in and say, oh, okay, I think I'll follow all the four rules. It requires preaching, cultivation, everything also. But people, due to cultural background, they can more easily come. And that's the point I'm making here, that culturally it is difficult, no doubt, for people to take to Krishna consciousness with rules and regulations and all of this. And we have to be conscious of that. I'm especially emphasizing that we have to not forget Prabhupada's Varnashram mission, and actually Krishna consciousness can't run on a template of the modern Western culture, because that template is one of sense gratification, as Srila Prabhupada uses that term several times in this purport. So it's not going to work. It can't work in the long run. There has to be vairagya vidya. There has to be detachment from this world and knowledge. So this traditional society, which Srila Prabhupada wanted to reintroduce with the caveat that it's not fully possible, but at the same time he did give many directions on this. It is our duty as Srila Prabhupada's followers and servants to not neglect this and to make steps. At least we should understand that this is our mission as followers of Srila Prabhupada. So I am quite convinced of this and in some aspects quite vocal about this. So I understand that it is a maybe I don't understand to the extent that you understand, but that it is it's a very great step for you to do this. It must take conviction. So thank you for that. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Yadava Prabhu. So, we'll finish now unless there are any questions, comments.
I have a question.
Yes, please.
And I'm asking this very respectfully, in no way am I rithic or anything of that nature, but you mentioned that the guru may not be a Mahabhagavad, but at the same time, the duty of the disciple is to see the guru as absolute. So how do you coincide that?
Yeah, I said that the guru it's unrealistic to expect to be on the every guru to be on the very highest level. We see in our parampara there's the list given, but actually there've been many thousands of gurus in our Gauriya Parampara. And all may not have been on the very highest platform, but it's the duty of the disciple to see him like that, and it's the duty of the guru to instruct like that and to act like that without imitating. In other words, the one who accepts the responsibility of being a guru should be a guru in action. Shouldn't be going to the gambling casino should not be laghu, should not be light, should be very... So, in action the guru should be a pure devotee. That means that from his heart all the anarthas may not be fully eradicated, but he should not be acting in a manner that is cultivating those anarthas. Should be fully acting in Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day.
What about accepting the level of respect? For example, a Mahabhagavat can have unlimited amount of disciples. They can accept so much money. They could accept so much worship. And they don't
A great, highest devotees, they can accept all kinds of honor and money and not be affected. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he also states, Bahu Shishya Na Karibe, don't make many disciples. But then Srila Prabhupada also told us to accept. He said, all of my disciples should have 10,000 disciples. That's recorded. So what do we do in this case? But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's general instruction is there, and Srila Prabhupada, the representative of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has modified that, you can say, for the circumstance that is required. Well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we find Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in one famous lecture on this subject. He addressed this very topic. How can I be a guru? He was speaking about himself with all humility. But he said that my guru has instructed, and he quoted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that Jare dekho tare kaha Krishna upadesh amar agyai guru hoya tara edesh. Wherever you go, whoever you meet, instruct them in the science of Krishna, in this way be a guru on my order and deliver this land. This was in response to the Brahmana who had said that now you've come, I want to go with you. I don't want to stay at home amidst all this maya. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, you stay, you preach. And he said that you do like this, you teach others about Krishna, and if you do this, then kabuna badibe tomai e bishoy taranga punarapi e thai pabe marasanga. He said, if you do this, then you will not be affected by the waves of material sense gratification, and you will meet me. You will have my association again in this very place. So, yeah, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur quoted that. So, the disciple has to take shelter of his guru and go on the order of the guru. The order of Prabhupada is that we should spread the Sankirtan movement, accept disciples, and one always has to remember that one accepts honor, but you have to pass it up. It's not for me. Idam Narayanaya Namama. This is not for me. This is for Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He sings, what is this? Amito Vaishnav e buddhi hoile. Omani na hobo vami. Pratishtasha Patushtasa Ashibe Hridoy Dushibe Hoibo Niroigami. And he goes on the whole song like this, saying that. If I think I am a Vaishnav, if I think like this, then I'll become a candidate for going to hell. I'll become more and more desirous of honor and prestige. My heart will become contaminated. So he goes on that if I give my food remnants to others and all. So he concludes, Tai Shishatava Takibe Sharvada Na Loibo Pujaka. He concludes this song by saying that, therefore I'll just be your disciple and I'll not accept honor from anyone. But he also accepted disciples. So how does one reconcile this with, I'll just be your disciple. When the guru tells you to accept disciples, you have to follow his order. What will you do? Yes, I'll just be your disciple, I won't be anyone's guru. And guru says you accept disciples. Then, what will you do? Yes, you have to accept the guru's order. And remember that I am a disciple. I'm doing this on guru's order. I'm not doing this for name, fame, prestige, money, or any such thing. So one always has to remember that Tai Shishya Tava Takya Sharvada. I will always remain a disciple. One who is a disciple can be a guru. One who thinks that he can jump over his guru, then he may try to jump over, but he'll just trip and fall down with anyone who is foolish enough to follow such a person. Especially in the case of, we have this towering personality, Srila Prabhupada, and to think that we'll surpass him, it's complete madness. Yeah, there's something else. You want to use a mic?
No, I just thought it was bothering me.
Use a loud voice.
So, when a disciple, feels ready to accept that responsibility of accepting disciples, does he just start accepting disciples like within ISKCON, or is there some process?
Is there a process?
Does it just, like, Srila Prabhupada, he kind of just was...
Yeah, if we get into all the details, it could be a very long discussion, because the principle is fairly simple, but the nuances are many, and it may be different in different cases. So there are all kinds. There's this Jagadish Ganguly, and who had resolved never to accept disciples, and then he was ordered in a dream by Jagannath to accept disciples, and he said, "The first person I see tomorrow, I'll make him my disciple." So he went in the river to bathe, and there was a dead body floating. So he dragged it out and initiated him. And he came back to life again. So that's one way. It's not the most common way, but I don't think in America, if you went down to the crematorium and said, we just want to drag someone out and initiate them, then probably wouldn't go down too well. Even in India now, they don't allow you to put dead bodies in the river. They became more civilized. So, saying that sarcastically, you can put the sewer water in the Yamuna, but you're not allowed to put the bodies of Babaji's who want to have their body offered to Yamuna. They won't allow that. In fact, anyway, I don't talk too much about it. The ashes can be, but not the body itself without burning. Gradually they'll stop everything. As Srila Prabhupada said that the leaders in India, they're deliberately polluting the Yamuna and Ganga. So that people, then they'll tell them, don't take bath, it's polluted. They're such demons. And actually the Yamuna now, in Vrindavan, the so-called Yamuna, is actually Delhi sewage. That's all. The Yamuna dies before Delhi. You want to say something?
I was going to ask something about devotees. Sometimes they bring, take their ashes to the Yamuna or Ganga, but we understand that we're not the body. The body, you're taking the ashes of the dead body to the... what kind? How is the connection?
What is the connection between bringing the ashes to offer in the Ganga? Well, exactly how it works, I don't know, but Shastra says that even the ashes, if they're put in the Ganga, then you get liberation. So how Krishna works it, I don't know. It's one of the zillion things to be. If you get into all these things, there's unlimited research to do on all kinds of things. And the more research you do, you find the more research is to be done. So my answer to how does it work is, I don't know. If you want, you can go and look into it. It may be something in Garuda Purana. That's the death Purana, which is often taught to young Hindus. They learn that you better be careful, otherwise you'll become... Whoops, I shouldn't talk about it. It's after dark.
It's also in Manasiksha of Raghunandas Goswami.
What's that?
Manasiksha.
What's in there?
It's very clearly says, Asachista Prakato Pashali Vihar. It says that Jamuna, when it's so merciful, that anything comes in contact, it immediately becomes relief of all sinful nature, inclination, gets the more inclined towards Krishna Lila. Jamuna Devi is so merciful. So anybody brings a commentary given, anybody brings even ashes to the Jamuna River, immediately delivered. Because of the affectionate, compassionate nature of Jamuna Devi.
All right, that's very nice. So shall we finish there? Or you want to go on talking some more? Hand up means there's talking. You're a Christian Vaishnav, is it? It's the first time I saw a crucifix on Tulsi beads.
So, on the fifth canto, chapter 11, text 17.
I'm supposed to know that.
I know you were talking about controversies, and we shouldn't talk about controversies, but.
No, I didn't say that we shouldn't. I said that we should. I said generally people think that we shouldn't.
So Prabhupada said that a woman should never be given any independence and should never...
Oh, it's not only there. It's right in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita as it is. He says it many times.
He says that a woman should be strictly controlled by her father as a young woman.
Yeah, yeah, that's a standard thing.
I'm thinking, well, why not do the same for men? I mean, what good have men done with their freedom? Like, look now in India, men are raping women.
Not doing it in America? Doesn't happen in America?
That's true. And I saw it recently on the news.
When it happens in India, it's the news everywhere, and it happens all the time in America. It happens everywhere.
And it's like, look what men are doing with their freedom. What good...
I tell you what, I'm not averse to this controversy, but I'm not going to get into it now. If you want, you can look on my website. I've spoken on this many times, but it's too big a topic to get into at the end of a program. I have one seminar, if you see on my website, it's called Women, Masters or Mothers. Please listen to that.
And my last comment is, look at the gopis. Like, they're married. They have...
All right, I tell you what, you... You arrange a lecture where you give all your illuminations and you invite everyone to come. But I'm not going to get into this right now. I'm not averse to the topic, but it's too big to get into right now. Sorry I couldn't satisfy you. You...
I think it's better this way.
So, Hare Krishna. Thank you for coming.